Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
This isn't about superstars. This isn't about minority owners. This isn't about shoving anyone. This isn't about rolling your eyes. This is about basketball. As big of a basketball game as this building has seen in quite some time, and it could be the last basketball game that this building will ever see. I can't fathom this dynasty, this story ending like that, so I want to put that out of my mind. The Warriors have a huge one tonight, and the Raptors have shown up to play in this series. Only some of the Warriors have. Who is available tonight, and who needs to contribute? The answer is everyone. Well, obviously not everyone is available. Who needs to contribute? Everyone. Everyone's got to play well tonight. No more excuses. No more putting off tomorrow the task you need to accomplish tonight. Ray Ratto, Matt Kolsky with us here. We've got a great guest lineup today in our 90 minutes together. Mark Spears, Anthony Slater, Tim Bontemps. We're going to run a little Steve Kerr at you before we get you to Warriors Live at 4:30. Gentlemen, final game at Oracle just doesn't feel right. How do we prevent that from happening? What do the Warriors need other than hopefully a little Klay Thompson out there, and maybe in the news this afternoon, the chance Kevon Looney could rejoin the lineup?
I'd go with cheating.
Yeah, I mean, when he can.
I think that's always a sound strategy. No, look, if Looney's going to play and Thompson's going to play, they've solved at least 2.5 of their biggest defensive problems. And their defense in Game 3 was abysmal, by all accounts. I don't know how much you're going to get out of either of them, and that's the wild card, because you don't know how much they're pushing a reluctant body to do things it needs to be healthier to do. And that's the question.
And frankly, them
coming back is one thing. Them coming back and being them is a whole different one.
And I think even though he's been here, you have a similar question about Andre Iguodala and about DeMarcus Cousins, given what we saw in Game 3. Andre Iguodala, Albie and I were looking at a Kirk Goldsberry Instagram about this, that Klay and Andre are significantly the two best defenders against Kawhi in the entire league this season. Not just in terms of his effectiveness, but in terms of how many shots he even gets off. Like how involved he even is in the offense. And without Klay, the only really high-level defender they had to throw at Kawhi was Iguodala. How much did that affect what he was able to give you from the rest of his game, which certainly you need right now? And taking some of that defensive load off him might help him. And as far as Klay and Looney go, like, I would say for both of them, even Klay, the offense you get is gravy at this point. They need Klay out there so they have more defensive options. And so if we come in on Monday and we're talking about what happens tonight, Ray isn't saying, like he said on Thursday, they don't have the personnel to defend any better than they did.
Defense from where you expect it, and maybe a little bit of offense from where you don't. I'm not saying we don't expect offense from Cook, Yurepko, McKinney. I'm even going to throw this out there. Bogut. I'm even going to throw. But look, tonight's a night where Yurepko, you get an open look, corner three. You got to hit it. It's hit your shot tonight. It's hit your open shot tonight for everyone, especially you role players who have
players not played, better at home, right?
Have not played a big enough role in the finals yet. Or you could say that their role is chief among the reasons why the Warriors are in a 2-1 series hole here against what is, and we continue to need to say this over and over again, I don't want any sour grapes radio, and it's important to establish this. This is a very good Toronto Raptors team. They have shown up and have delivered
everything that their regular season promised, and maybe even a little bit more, because I wasn't expecting Van Vliet to be this good. I wasn't expecting Siakam to put on the Superman cape in game one quite like he did, and of course he came off that performance, but he hasn't come so far off that he's gone into the background of the series. He's still the Raptors' second-best player out there.
He was plus 22 in game three, 18 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, and in general... This is another thing Ray says all the time about the Warriors, that they are the rare team that is, when they're good, truly more than the sum of their parts. And I think that's what we've seen from Toronto. Their parts are less than the Warriors' parts, certainly the full-strength Warriors' parts. But and Kawhi has been a superstar, but not had the sort of takeover games that might have concerned you. What they've been is a bunch of guys doing their job and coming together to be more than they appear.
Forget everybody on Toronto's face. Take the names off the back of the jerseys. This is a team you know nothing about with zero individual reputation. There's not one guy that has played for Toronto that has been so outstanding where you say, boy, if you remove him from the equation, the whole thing would fall apart. It really has been an ensemble.
Except that without Leonard, it does all fall
apart. Yeah, it would. It would.
But the difference with Toronto is that they've shortened their bench to the seven guys who don't turn the wrong way. I mean, Norman Powell has basically lost much of a role here because he can get turned around on defense, and Toronto has said, we can't afford that. I mean, they won with seven guys the other night, not because the Warriors were depleted alone, but also because those are the seven most trustworthy guys they have, and they've been trustworthy. Van Vliet has been the one guy who has played closest to his max in each game. But only a fool would say that Leonard is not the thing that makes everything else go. What they are, though, is they're relentlessly efficient at all the things they do so that you have to earn everything you get, and you can't come in either shorthanded or distracted or overwhelmed because they will step on your throats.
And I think there's the two ways of the Leonard thing of looking at it. One is, of course, if you take Kawhi Leonard off the team, they fall apart. They're not nearly as good. But I think what Damon's point is, and I think holds to a degree, is, yeah, that's true at its base, but it's felt like whoever the five on the floor at any given time for Toronto are...
balance.
They're doing everything right. Like you said, they're all pulling the rope the right direction. They're all turning the right direction every time on defense, and the Warriors are not. And I think... that's where we look at it and say, in part, the Warriors are not because they are tremendously depleted.
Game three, Kyle Lowry, 5 from 9 from downtown. Danny Green, 6 from 10 from downtown. Fred Van Vliet, 3 of 6 from downtown. The three combined to shoot 14 of 25% from distance. That's 56% from the guys who aren't even supposed to hurt you.
And how
from
about
downtown,
this?
With the exception of Danny Green.
Every single Raptor who took a shot, shot at least 50% from the field. That's not good defense.
It's horrific defense.
Yeah.
And it's not just that they were over 50%. It's that they got looks. And
yep.
They got tons of them. You know, they're already a better rebounding team. They're every bit as good defensively if you take both teams as full strength. And they are a better defensive team if they're like this. But what they got was basically a free game on the road.
Yeah. And stylistically... this offense that they run is maybe more like what the Warriors actually want to do than anything else the Warriors have seen. They share the ball. 30 assists for them in that game. That's the number the Warriors are always talking about, and it's because the ball hops around and guys do their job.
You got to turn off the spigot somewhere. Can't have a night where it's just flowing from everyone. It's got to stop somewhere, and I don't think any of us are expecting a double-digit blowout in really either direction. This is going to be a game that is probably decided by 4 or 5 buckets. If you want to count threes, we're probably down to 2 or 3 buckets. Like, this is going to be tight. It's been tight the entire way. If the Warriors can finally eclipse 109, I think that would go a nice little way to push them across the finish line with a 2-2 tied NBA final series tonight. If they don't do that, it's 3-1 going to Toronto. And the only thing I'm going to tell you is this. It's not must win because the laws of physics do not apply to the Golden State Warriors. They don't. There is a rule book that is available to them and them only. But there's no reason to ask Superman to do a juggling act with balls of kryptonite. That's where this goes. You are juggling with kryptonite if you're trying to go on the road to Toronto facing a game where if you lose it, you're on vacation. The dynasty would end. How that would ripple through this offseason, we will find out quickly. Let's not get there now. Let's not get there like this. Let's not get there at all. The best way to prevent that is the win tonight. 888-957-9570 is the number. We are going to be taking your phone calls. We are going to be bringing you a phenomenal guest list up until Warrior Live at 4:30. Mark Spears, Anthony Slater, Tim Bontemps, right now, my friend Matt Kolsky on what's coming up this evening on 95.7 The Game.
What's happening on The Game is brought to you by Account Temps, and you heard the guest list. Mark Spears, Anthony Slater, Tim Bontemps, all in the next 79 minutes. Boy, that's a lot of action. Also, some highlights from our Steve Kerr interview yesterday, and of course, it is all leading up to the big Game 4. Pre-game at 4:30 with Steiny and Guru. Tip is 6 o'clock as the Warriors play Game 4 of the NBA Finals. A not must-win, but very important Game 4 right here on 95.7 The Game.
Game day traffic on 95.7 The Game from the KCBS Traffic Center. Brought to you by the San Francisco Giants. It's already getting heavy around Oracle Park. And 280, the extension is backed up almost beyond 16th as you try to get onto King Street. I'm John Rivers.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show, live from Oracle ahead of Game 4 of the NBA Finals on 95.7 The Game.
Guests appear on the dial pad guest line, of course, unless they're in person at the Crown Royal Club inside of Oracle Arena ahead of Game 4. Mark Spears, senior writer for ESPN's The Undefeated, good enough to sit down with us just a touch early, too, here ahead of Game 4 with Ray Ratto and Matt Kolsky. Mark, good to see you again, man. Thank you for coming on by. They're shutting down the lower bowl because the Warriors obviously want to go through a little bit of a team workout here. They are shutting the media out of the lower bowl for said workout. It's about 500 media members they just asked to leave. It's not a regular night media ensemble out there.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you, is there anything that could be even described as dramatic going to go on with the Golden State Warriors, either testing Kevon Looney, Klay Thompson, or, you know, the big white whale himself, Kevin Durant?
Why not all of the above? Who knows? We could actually peek. We're close enough to kind of
peek. We could peek around the curtain.
And nobody will notice. I might be tall enough to look over the top. Ray is short enough to look under the bottom. But I just think, man, I'm starting to lose a little faith in Durant being in this series, but we'll.
It feels like Steve keeps moving the goalpost, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's getting late, man.
Yeah, it is. Getting late early.
It's getting late, but I do. Obviously, Clay's going to play. I do expect Looney to play. And the one thing that makes it curious to me is they didn't do this last game when it was an early start as well.
Right.
I mean, they've done this before in regular season games fairly often. But the one thing that, frankly, has changed about the way the Warriors announce injuries, and it's happened in the last couple of series, is that they're trying to play coy more and push back the time when they have to spill, unless they're absolutely certain somebody either is or is not playing. And the reason why I think Durant is not involved here is because Kerr was not only definitive about him not playing, he hasn't come back and retracted any part of it.
Yeah.
And that, to me, tells me that this is either about Looney or they're just putting dead spots in the floor.
Well, I mean, he wasn't available for comment today. If I'm a coach, I'd lie if it was possible. I talked to Durant, like, for a quick second when he was leaving the building the other day, and I said, you know, hey, what's going on with Game 4? He said, we'll know in the morning. I don't know. Maybe that one sentence seemed a little optimistic to me, because that was the first time I heard him sound like he had any hope.
Right.
It's not that he's been saying a lot. I don't expect him to play, but for radio's sake, why not? I think it's interesting that they got this curtain up.
Okay,
right?
He's playing. Great.
There you go.
There, that was easy.
Ray Ratto, breaking news.
Between now and 4:30, the Damon Bruce Show contends it would be great if, and Kevin Durant is playing. No, he's not. We do not know anything. Wishful thinking, obviously. Look, it's usually not a situation where Warrior fans are walking into a building with a little wishful thinking. I think everybody's on edge tonight. I mean, I'm feeling it. There's finality in this building. There is something is about to happen.
It's like you're visiting a hospice.
It's either going to – look, we are either going to – well, we are either going to breathe – we are either going to breathe
like
life
gonna
back into the series.
Or yeah. What, next Wednesday, Thursday?
Yeah. That is dark even by my standards, which means you should be ashamed of yourself.
But this is it. Like, you know, when I start thinking of how might this dynasty end, it wasn't with a cavalcade of injuries, most important hands on deck, weren't even on deck as the damn sink, you know, as the ship was sinking.
I mean, but if it
can't end like this.
If it sinks, I'm sure they'd much rather be with the next one, the last one, the last possible one. At least then you have some knowledge that no matter what, it's going to be it here. Like when I walked onto the floor today, one of the security guards asked to take a picture. I'm like, well, you know something I don't know? Is this it? He's like, no, I'm not saying that. I you can take a picture the next game. Well, no, let's just take one right now. Okay. All right.
Yeah, but you do scare people, let's be honest. You're 8 feet tall.
I'm handsome, though.
You're 5 feet wide.
I'm handsome, though.
And you've killed before.
Jeez.
Don't put that out there.
This segment is
taking a very
dark
turn. Don't put
that out.
It's in your Wikipedia page.
Very dark. Let me ask you a basketball question, if only to make myself more comfortable.
Cowards.
I look down the roster of what they had on Wednesday, and you know, part of the problem, and maybe the chief part of the problem, is I don't know who they can honestly expect more out of, because Quinn Cook was once again pretty decent. You know, Bogut was better than you possibly could have expected. You do theoretically get Clay and Looney back tonight, but is there someone you look at, one of the less heralded non-All-Star Warriors, that you think there's a guy we can hope to see more from?
The defense. Hmm.
Forget the guy's name. Just the team. The whole team.
Either they're one of the greatest shooting three-point teams of all time, or that's some of the worst. Like, how many of them are open looks?
A lot. It felt like a lot.
Most.
I looked at it. I think someone charted like 18 of their 38 attempts. There was no defender within 6 feet, I believe.
Which is
not good.
Because they still, like Draymond said yesterday, they scored 109. They have one game scoring that. I mean, it was like a three-point layup. It was like it was pop a shot or something like that. The way they shot, what, 46% from three?
45,
Did they play the Rockets? Like, I don't expect that from Toronto.
Yeah, but they're pros, and if you give them that many open
Danny
looks.
Danny Green couldn't hit the side of the Pacific Ocean a week ago.
He wasn't playing against that team with so few defenders on it. I mean, he could have done that if he was playing Phoenix, which
he
is sort of
open looks too. But
yeah, which is sort of the defense that the Warriors are playing.
In the history of the NBA Finals, guys who have taken 53s, every one of those dudes is under 50% except one, Danny Green.
Was he shooting like 95?
In game three it felt like it. That was for sure. Mark, this is a DeMarcus Cousins game. Anyone who's got a reputation, let's see it tonight. You know, that's what I'm saying. DeMarcus had a nice game two, big regression in game three. Do you think he's got more to offer in game four?
They adapted to him as far as being more athletic. But I was even surprised at some of the bunnies that he missed. I mean, he's not dunking on people quite just back yet. Those were layups he should have made.
He had no lift in that game.
Yeah. But
even more so than game
two. I don't think he's got any lift at all.
But his body is
come back early.
His body is so big. Like, if you got the defender between you and the basket, you should be able to make a two-foot shot.
Yeah.
You know, that's elementary. You know what I mean?
That
was what was surprising to me. But I guess, it's a hit-and-miss thing with his body, how he feels. In game two, I thought he was maybe the best player in the game. Game three, woo.
It was bad. It was bad. Mark Spears, senior writer for ESPN's The Undefeated. A lot of stories have been orbiting around this final series. Probably none has touched off more than –
Real quick, just
– Yeah.
Super producer Albie here has three people that his Twitter has asked him to follow. Kamala Harris, Kamala Harris, Ellen DeGeneres, and Hot Girl Meg.
There you go. Well, he's a well-rounded producer.
Those are the suggestions.
Hot Girl Meg is a great follow.
Who's Hot Girl Meg?
I have no idea.
I know you know, Damon.
Elizabeth Warren? Megan McCain.
Oh, geez.
Sorry.
Somebody
I just got
politics.
Distracted.
It's all right. It's okay. It's okay.
What they asked him to do.
Mark Stevens found himself right in the center of a bullseye, and he put himself there, and the whole world's come to give him a wedgie. I think I've enjoyed that wedgie. Does he deserve the full atomic wedgie that is you can never be around the NBA again?
I mean, what did Utah do?
That fan was banned for life, I believe.
Well, two fans.
Yeah.
So what's the president? You know what I mean? You know what? We beat up Utah a lot, but Utah quietly has a diversity board, the Jazz. They're big on you know, trying to do what's right. And I respect what they did.
Yeah.
NBA had nothing to do with that. They kind of just monitored it from afar.
That was Gail Miller entirely.
Exactly.
By the way, that dripped with racism. I don't know if this situation drips racism.
You can't put your hands on a player, though, man.
I hear you.
Like, this could have been the Malice in the Palace over again.
You could.
Well, what if he would have touched him? He would have been the bad guy.
Yeah.
You just can't do that.
Look, I'm not trying to defend Mark Stevens.
It might be worse to put your hand than to say something. At least you ain't touching him.
Okay.
Well, but here the thing, I mean, if it had been just regular citizen pushing him.
Maybe he would have, yeah.
No, one, he's getting arrested, and two, he's not coming back to the arena ever.
Yeah.
I mean, so.
No, he got, I mean, like, okay, to half a million, that's a lot of money, right?
Yeah, maybe not to him. 1/64th of his net worth.
Yeah, but that can't be tolerated, man. A year ain't enough to me.
I'm not sure that there isn't going to be more.
Yeah.
There won't be.
Well,
that was a ruling, but
the NBA
I don't
might
no,
not
no, 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 I
more.
Mean that.
No, you're
might,
saying
they might on the QT ease him out, and by ease him out mean give him $250 million for his 7%.
Oh, he should have been kicked out already. What's the wait? Well, what are we waiting
I don't
on?
Think
there need
you
to be
could,
no investigation. We saw
it's
it.
Not a, no. That's not it's talking about. If you don't want him to be part of the ownership group, you can't just take his shares away. You have to
some
pay
clause.
Him off for that. I don't
like conduct right, unbecoming.
Some clause in that contract he signed when he got the deal. You can't put your hand on a player, man.
No. I'm not trying to minimize what he did in any way.
Yeah.
And all I'm saying is I cannot fathom a way that they can kick him out of ownership without recompensing him for his shares. Donald Sterling got $2 billion for a $1 billion team, and he was far worse than this guy was.
Imagine if he did that to Serge.
Well, he'd be a grease spot.
There would have been a red rose on that chair.
So if he's not allowed to sit there tonight, who's got the seats?
Ooh.
Who's got the seats?
As I keep saying, I'm available to take his portion
of the
team.
Nah, man, got to be some brother in that seat, man. Brother got pushed, brother got to sit in the seat, man.
Those are the rules.
I want Mr. Fab in that seat.
I want
Dwayne Wiggins from Tony. Sheila E. Somebody.
Tony.
Somebody.
It's all anniversary.
Three, Tony. All three guys sitting in that one seat on each other's lap.
It just needs to be a guy holding a flag from Switzerland in his hand. No, I'm neutral. I got nothing here.
Don't land on me. Look, I.
No, that guy probably sold his ticket for a lot of money.
Yeah.
He probably did. He probably got to make a little bit of money on this on the way out the door. He might
Same
make a
way
lot
Donald
more.
Sterling did.
I can't believe, like I said, this cannot be the way the dynasty ends.
Yeah.
This can't be the way it ends. Like, there's just so much nonsense
around
this.
Like a soap opera. It's almost like just the Lakers playing here.
It's ridiculous.
I tell you what, that is the deepest wound you can open on this.
In the history of,
they're like the Lakers.
In the history of stink face, Beyonce didn't even put much on Nikki Lightyears. I don't see what the internet's doing.
And that's undefeated, bro.
They is bad news.
They again.
Yeah.
They.
That's undefeated.
I guess so.
It's
I
the
guess
most.
So. You think she comes tonight?
No.
Beyonce or Nikki?
She has to come.
Beyonce?
No.
Oh, Nicole, of course she's going to be here. Look, you can tell Beyonce's a queen all you want. She might be the queen of the world. Nicole is a queen of this building. Yeah. Nicole's a queen of this franchise. There's no doubt. Her shoe game is strong.
Boots.
Nikki Lightyear.
You pay attention to the shoes?
Every single game.
What was your favorite pair?
I checked it. Did you see the Flamers? Last year she had gold and orange Pradas. They were flaming. They looked like Icarus. They winged.
She was going to fly
to the sun.
You don't want to do that. That's what Icarus learned.
She's wearing NASCAR.
We're not here to learn lessons, Matt. These are fashionable shoes.
I like a good, tall, sparkly blue boot, if it's me.
All nonsense aside, I know you got to run. What happens tonight, Mark Spears?
I think they win. And then I think there's a game six. And there's going to be a lot of motion next week. I can't see this team losing three times in a row.
Mm-mm.
Can't.
Good way to end it. Thank you very much, man. Good to see you. I know you got to get running. Mark Spears there. We're going to take some calls. 888-957-9570. Mark, appreciate you, man. Do me a favor. Peek around that curtain. Tell me if you see a guy wearing a guy about 7'13" putting up threes. Let's go to Bleacher Dave, who says he's on the way to Oracle. Bleacher Dave, what's going on?
Hey, Dave.
Hey, what's up, Matt? What's happening, Dad? Nikki Lightyears is hilarious. My chat group has been loving it. Thank you for giving us that name. Look, you talked about emotion. Mark talked about emotion next week. There's a lot of emotion in this building tonight, at least for me, and I'm bringing it. I can't wait to be in that place, and I'm urging everybody in there to make some noise from the beginning, to give that team some energy, to make it a tougher place to play for the Toronto role players. We can't affect the outcome much, but we got a lot of pride and history to uphold here as we exit this building, to uphold the legacy of Roracle, We Believe, Run TMC, Rick Barry, and everybody that came before to urge this team on as we go. We can't, my worry is, and this is probably not true, is that Clay coming back, they relaxed like a hare, but I doubt it. In the words, I think they need to play like we used to say about Eric Burns. Come out there with your hair on fire and defend, keep the points down.
Look, you got to win the first quarter tonight if you're the Golden State Warriors. You come out and set a little tone. You've been playing pull my socks up, pull my pants up, pull my underwear, tuck my shirt in. That's where you've been the entire series. You've lost 10 of 12 quarters. That's not Golden State Warriors basketball. Play some defense, knock down some shots, no BS. Man, that's it. You're a great basketball team. What's your identity? You hang banners. Hang a W. Do it tonight.
I think the Dave's point about the defense is the key thing. And, I tend to think their performance Wednesday was even below the depleted roster. But certainly, if you're getting Clay and Looney back, those are two of your four best defenders. And there's no more excuses about, well, we didn't have the guys. You got to be within 6 feet of three-point shooters.
Can't raise his left arm over his head because he's got a broken clavicle, and the other guy, it only hurts when he runs and cuts and stops. Like, Clay's going to run 3.5 miles
tonight. Doesn't matter.
Running, cutting, and stopping.
I think the first thing you're going to see is not a bunch of threes, though. They're going to go right at Looney, and they're going to go at him with Leonard, and they're going to go after him with Gasol, and they're going to keep doing it to see if they can drive him from the game because that's what you do.
No question. But honestly, if they start overplaying an offense of isolation basketball against Klay Thompson and trying to attack Kevon Looney, provided those guys hold up somewhat, that plays in the Warriors' favor in my eyes.
Yeah, but you can do that through ball movement, which is what they'll probably do. I mean, I don't think they're going to initiate the offense through Klay Thompson. I mean, it just makes no sense. They'll initiate the offense with quick passes and then get it down to Gasol so that Thompson's not a part of it.
We're going to take more calls. We've got Anthony Slater coming up at 3:45, Tim Bontemps at 4 o'clock, the best of Steve Kerr about 10 after 4. Warriors Live, 4:30, Game 4, 6 o'clock tonight on 95.7 The Game. This is Connor in Fairfield. Connor, you're on 95.7 The Game.
No way, man. This is awesome. I'm so nervous. Hey, I just wanted to talk about, am I on?
You're on, Connor. Go.
Okay. Sorry, Dame. I just want to talk about Kawhi Leonard, man. I've been watching basketball for about 10 years, and I remember in 2014, he basically ended the dynasty of Miami. And this guy is world-class, man. I think he's the best player in the league because I'm a big bodybuilding fan, and everyone talks about chest and biceps, but if you don't have the legs, you're not complete. And nobody plays defense better than Kawhi, not even Battier, not even Kobe. I think Durant is a lot like Kobe, but Kawhi is a lot like Jordan because Kawhi's got that fadeaway. He's got the instinct. He's got the drive. He's got he does everything on the offense at a B level and everything on the defense at an A-plus level, and you can't compare Durant. All right, I'm done. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Well, look, I would just say that from an offensive skill standpoint, Kevin Durant is the more evolved, more skilled player who can beat you in several more different ways from different spots on the floor that Kawhi is not nearly as efficient from. But I would say Kawhi is the defensive superior to Durant with the exact same breadth and depth of skill. Like Kawhi is an idiot savant defensively.
I think that the easy way to look at the two of them is you've just flipped which side of the court is the truly unbelievable elite, maybe most elite ever level. With Durant, it's the offense. With Kawhi, it's the defense. But I got to say, Connor obviously is not the only one to make the Jordan comparison. And as someone who, like, growing up watching Michael Jordan is pretty much the defining experience of my life, they look nothing alike. The games don't look alike, but in terms of the product that you're left with, they're shockingly identical, I think. The effectiveness of Kawhi with that line drive mid-range jumper, the relentless defense, the shocking strength.
And he can just go through anything.
The capability to finish through almost anything. It's what Kawhi is able to do is very close to what Jordan was able to do. It's really impressive.
And that's why comparisons are usually awful, because you really are comparing things that have nothing to do with each other, except that you get to the end product.
Yes.
The end product is exactly the same. Everything else is
aesthetically completely the opposite, yeah, in a lot of ways, because Jordan was flash and excitement, and Kawhi is ruthless efficiency.
Simon is in Marin. Simon, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Doing well.
You got me?
Yeah, go.
Yeah. So this tidbit came out that Iguodala agrees with the fans and how, you know, we need some more energy. You know, it was 2013 season, and I was in Denver for a second round series with my cousin, and I was being told to sit down by Warriors fans sitting behind me.
Like Simon, you know what? That is the most soft-bellied, nonsensical goal. This is an awesome building. This is an incredible fan base. There's nothing wrong with the fans. Tickets are more expensive than they used to be. I've done this show a million times. It's game four of the NBA Finals. Clutch your pearls somewhere else. This is Bruce in Napa. Bruce.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to comment on the apparent hypocrisy with the treatment of Mark Stevens. I'm not defending what he did. That's inexcusable. But the league and the Warriors have seemingly come down with what seems to be a pretty serious penalty. But the folks that are calling for his ban or forced sale of his interest should also be for then the same type of punishment for any player that gets out of line, which what I mean is a complete ban and elimination from their career and their livelihood.
Bruce, this is just too stupid to acknowledge any further. Thank you very much for being the least aware, darkest lit mind listening to my show this afternoon. We take a quick break and come on back with Anthony Slater here on 95.7 The Game. Game four. No nonsense. Jesus.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show. Live from Oracle ahead of game four of the NBA Finals on 95.7 The Game.
Anthony Slater joining us talking about Game 4. We got a big one tonight. Ray Ratto, Matt Kolsky. We are back inside the Crown Royal Club Oracle Arena. And the curtains are drawn to the lower bowl right now. A little bit of a workout is going on with the Warriors. We have nothing out of the ordinary to report. We peaked. And, you know, the whole deal of being the flagship station is you don't share information that they want to keep secret. I don't even have anything sexy to pretend to share with you. Nothing. I mean, we saw nothing out there, nothing to really report at all.
I saw Jordan Bell shooting free throws.
Oh! You know?
Hopefully that's the last time he does that
Will
tonight.
Jordan Bell's free throws be the difference in this series?
With any luck, we won't see that between the whistles.
You know, he won a game. Well, no, he took a game to nearly a victory this year with free throws in Miami, but then Dwayne Wade banks in the game winner.
That's right.
So you never know. I mean, Jordan Bell might be on the line tonight to save Oracle. Never know.
You're right.
Shame Bottom line,
me.
Tonight everyone hit every shot you get. That's how the Warriors can get through this tonight. Game three was a defensive breakdown in a level that spoke, I think, greater to breakdown than just injury concern. I mean, that was sure, no Klay Thompson, no Kevon Looney, but it was even worse than that.
Yeah, I mean, I think they got 13 open corner threes. Danny Green probably got, you know, 8 of those and hit a lot of them. I mean, they hit it to an abnormal level, but they also just got the looks that would kind of rev them up. They look like the Houston Rockets in a sense. You know, you hit 17 threes in a game, you typically win that game. And yeah, I do think there were some breakdowns. I remember the one at the end of the first quarter when the Warriors, it was 12 early, and then the Warriors brought it to 4. Steph hit a long bomb, and you're like, man, they're going to take some momentum in the second quarter. And then they double Kawhi, which, you know, that's a smart thing to do. He throws it over to McCaw, and they, like, scramble at McCaw, which seemed strange. He swings it over. You leave Danny Green open for 3. That is schematic breakdowns. But I do think the personnel, I mean, that can't really be overstated either. I would say they're missing 3 of their, what, top 5 best defensive players in Klay, KD, Looney.
Maybe 4.
Yeah. I mean, obviously Draymond's number 1, but those might be your, you know, 2, 3, 4. I mean, Iguodala is up
Depends
there.
Depends which physical Iguodala you get. But, yeah, those are the 5 for sure. And I think you can say 3 of their best 5 on the floor at times.
3 of the best 6 players, regardless. Yeah. I mean, especially with what Cousins is right now.
I don't know how granular you can get with any Looney questions, but how did they determine that the injury that he's got is actually, A, much better than what they originally announced, and, B, that he can't make it worse? I mean, is it a matter of inches? Do you know much about it?
I don't know a ton about it. I know that he's been begging to play. I know I was surprised that he wasn't like in any type of sling when I saw him the other night. I was like, oh, that's a pretty good sign. I know that if this was the regular season, he'd probably be out, you know, 3 weeks a month. And I know he's saying, well, we don't have 3 weeks a month. Let me play. It hurts, but I can be hurt. And I always think it's weird when they say, well, it can't get any worse. Like, Kawhi could crack him on a drive tonight, and, like, I mean,
14 seconds in.
Yeah.
Right.
And, I mean, maybe you wear, like, a little bit of those, like, flak jackets under the jersey. I don't know what specific.
If I'm the Raptors, I'm sharp elbows around him all night.
Yeah. But, look, if he can take the pain, if he can take the fact that maybe it does, I guess, worsen to a degree that, you know, his off season is a lot more uncomfortable and a lot longer rehab, that's okay. And, you know, he's entering a very interesting free agency, but him doing this, to me, increases his value to the Warriors. I mean, this partnership, I think, will continue this offseason. So
I think it increases his value everywhere, because if you're Kevon Looney, you're not a guy who people are worried about. Well, if he loses a half step, he's not the guy he was anymore. You're someone who you want to do things like play through pain and play big minutes and big moments and do little things. I want to ask about Draymond, because I think there's a degree to which people have accepted a certain level of turnovers from him because he's running the offense. He's a big guy. He's doing a lot of trying to move quickly. But watching this series, there have been 2, 3, maybe 4 turnovers in each of these games that are not the turnovers of aggression that they want to live with, that are just silly, either bad. They're aggressive, but they're silly, bad long passes, or he's just not looking, and he throws it in an easily defended area in the paint. Is that something they can ask him, you have to be more careful with that? Or is it like,
it's
if you get
him
the Draymond you want, you got to live with it?
Yeah, it's kind of him. I think it more speaks to the Raptors, where against the Blazers, you know, you're kind of pushing the pace and you're lobbing these high-risk passes, and Al-Farouq Aminu is kind of watching it float over his head, whereas Pascal Siakam is tipping it this way, and Van Fleet's playing physical. And, you know, he doesn't have as good of receivers out there. You know, Kevin Durant is 7 foot with whatever, a 7'1 wingspan, and, you know, now you miss Klay Thompson last game. Like, he's trying to push it and do stuff that maybe the other players aren't capable of. And you know, maybe DeMarcus Cousins can't stab something at his feet that Kevon Looney might have. So I would say it's more of a Raptors-based thing. The Raptors just create turnovers better than any defense they played in the playoffs.
I don't know if any of us, you, anyone really knows Kevin Durant, but Anthony, you've covered him longer than any of us for sure. How difficult has this been on him, do you think, just mentally going through this in the NBA Finals? He came here literally for this moment, and he hasn't been able to participate in this moment.
Tough, and I think part of the reason it's, you know, I thought there was, I think everyone thought Game 4 was potentially the target date. I think he's seeing how he's, like, feeling and maybe shooting and in his, you know, free time. I think he's maybe concerned about how he would play if he was on the floor. You know, they're not just dropping him into a, hey, you know, ease yourself into 25 minutes. It's like, hey, go dominate Kawhi Leonard. You know, go take it to him end to end. And I'm not sure he feels, at least at this moment today, he's physically capable of doing that. I know there's obviously clear frustration. You see it in the back. But, yeah, I mean, this is tough on him. He would have had a chance if he played from game one to go three straight NBA Finals MVPs. Has that been done? I don't even.
No.
I don't think
so. I mean, that's a chance of history right there. You know what? Jordan might have. Probably. Nobody else ever won Finals MVP.
Yeah, never another Bull who won Finals MVP. So there you go.
So he has a chance to do Michael Jordan type stuff, and his body just hasn't allowed him to.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah, Jordan, two, three repeats.
If he shows up,
Shaq also did it.
If he shows up in Game 5, and it's a big part of them rattling off three in a row, it's not off the table, Anthony.
I think, I mean, man, he'd have to come back and go like 50 piece.
I think if they lose tonight, that door's open.
Yeah, down 3-1, he comes back and he's the clear savior. It would create a very interesting scenario because, I mean, Steph's been awesome. You know, I mean, the 47 pointer the other night, like, you don't check mark that as like, oh, that's a rough Steph night. Like, that was one of his probably 10 best playoff performances. It might get forgotten because of the loss, but if they win, man, I mean, KD would have to just be otherworldly for three straight wins.
If I give you over under 40 for Steph tonight,
probably over. I think they need him to play, even though Clay's going to be back, I think they needed him to play like it's the other night again, right, which is just aggression at every moment, force the issue. I liked what he did the other night a couple times. You could tell like it was such a choppy refereeing game, and they were calling a lot of stuff at the rim, especially they were doing the stuff where if you miss the layup, then they call it after. And he got himself to the rim a few times, and he got some fouls on Van Fleet. I don't know how many free throws he ended up taking, but it was over 10.
It was 10 or 11, I think.
That's what I like to see from him.
He needs to shoot 30 times tonight.
Yeah, I think it was 31 the other
14.
Night.
Oh, 14 for
Chris. Yeah, which is un-Steph-like, typically. Mm-hmm. I expect him to. You know, you could feel the frenetic energy from him right away, where his first possession, he got up a three. You know, I would say a 29-foot Steph with a hand in his face tonight is better than a McKinney or a Jarebko, you know, open wing three. So just Jack.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I agree. Tonight, if you're really going to shoot in the basketball, do it a lot. Do it a lot. All night long.
Hey, Clay, too. I mean, we'll see what version of Clay we get, but, like, those two should combine for, like, 55 to 60 shots tonight. If Clay is physically capable.
And the truth is, all of these games have felt close, except for really game three. Like, tonight, Cook, Jarebko, McKinney. Like, if you're taking that corner three, hit it. If not, kick it somewhere else. Like, there's no time to be anything less than good tonight.
There was a lot of hesitation the other night. Remember that shot clock violation they had where, like, you know, Steph is dragging two defenders, so it's creating open looks. And it was, I believe it was, like, Iguodala in the corner, and he kind of passed it up. And there was McKinney who passed up a three. And then Draymond had to kind of frantically throw it up. And shot clock violations are so demoralizing because it's like, man, they just played 24 really good seconds. And the game stops, and you kind of have to slump and walk down. So toss it up with confidence.
And at least with McKinney, for me, attack. Because he's one of the better athletes on the floor, I think, when you actually see him leap. And he does hesitate on those threes. So take two dribbles and jump into somebody. Maybe you get a foul call.
Yeah, he's a little out of control. But I've thought about
that works
what
sometimes.
About them go, you know, we'll see with Looney. You know, if Looney looks good and he's healthy, you know, obviously you're going to give him 25, 30 minutes. But if there's no Looney and it's like the other night, maybe they should go small more, and maybe it's a McKinney, a Livingston, and Draymond at the five more often. Because,
and run.
Because, and we'll know early on Cousins. That's the thing we've seen this year, right? It's like in the first 5 minutes, oh, this is a good DeMarcus Cousins night, or oh, this is not the good one. I think they need to find out early, pull the plug early if it's not the good one, and go small, run, shoot a bunch of threes with Steph and Clay.
Good stuff. Anthony Slater, our Warriors insider. No one would call you athletic, but thank you very much for stopping on by. We do like talking basketball with you.
You are in foul humor today.
Thanks for having
appreciate
me.
It. Thank you very much, Anthony. Good stuff as always, man. Tim Bontemps is going to be stopping on by in just a little bit. And we are going to, on the way out, get you to a little Steve Kerr before Warriors Live tonight. Just play it for me right now, just to get it done with. Top of the hour. Go. Lewis in Redwood City. You're on 95.7 The Game. Lewis, what do you got?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Just wanted to say I love the show. You guys make my drive a little easier when I'm out there door dashing. I just wanted to say, you know, even though I'm going for the Raptors, I'm still very scared because we got Steph Curry, Draymond, and you got Mr. Cool Calm Collective, Klay Thompson, coming back. And they're experienced, and they've been in this position before, and it's very scary.
You know, the Warriors have seen just about everything you can throw at a basketball team. They get their mail in the NBA Finals. They've been here so many times. One of the complaints is it feels like just another day at the office sometimes. Well, these are not just normal days at the office. This has been left of center all the way because of the injuries. And it has just tested this franchise about as much as they've been tested. Then you got all the other nonsense happening on the, you know, courtside seats. Yeah. And it's just, I mean, good God, what else can we throw into an NBA Finals?
Yeah, and injuries obviously are a huge part of why they're in this situation. But also just being down 2-1 is totally unfamiliar.
Right, and Toronto's awesome.
And feeling like, wow, this is a series they could very easily lose. This is a series where it's no longer just, well, if the Warriors play well, it's over.
Right.
It's if they
play
really
well. The
Warriors can play
well and lose.
Exactly. It's they have to play great and hopefully get the right guys back and those guys be at the right level of health when they come back. And all that has to come together for them to win. That has not been the case since they lost.
You want to talk about scenarios? We got them all for you. Best case scenario tonight. Warriors win. Klay looks fine. Boogie plays well. KD and Looney are on the horizon for a return in Game 5. That would be fantastic. I mean, Looney could come back tonight. So KD on the horizon for game. That would be best case scenario. A win, no further injury. Durant may be back. The great case scenario would just be, look, you're not going to have Kevin Durant, but the series is even and you're going to Toronto and that's where you need to be. Good would be winning, going to Toronto. Still no Kevin Durant, though, in Game 5, and you know it tonight. You know, like, that would see you're going on the road shorthanded once again. Where things start getting bad is where you lose Game 4, and now you're heading to Toronto. But there's promise that Kevin Durant might be there for Game 5. It gets very bad is if you lose, and all of a sudden you know for a fact that KD is not going to be there the rest of the way, and you're down 3-1. The very, very, very bad scenario, one which this team would not recover from, and tonight would then become the last game in the history of Oracle Arena. Klay Thompson's hamstring goes early. The injury bug continues to chomp at this team, and they lose, and Durant is still a question mark. And Klay is a very much question mark again. And who knows what Looney is involved in. Like, just that would be the worst case scenario. If that happens, the Toronto Raptors will win the NBA championship north of the border on Monday night. If that happens.
Drink up, kids.
Yeah, so here we are. These are new times around these parts, for sure. 888-957-9570. Duke in the city. What's up, Duke?
Keys to the car, DB. This is going to be keys to the game. All hands on deck. That's what it is tonight. All hands on deck. It done got real serious in the Bay. Put down that Kush and them blunts and that Henny and get out there and cheer. Them guys on that champagne and the wine and all that. It give you a sore throat. You can't cheer with cotton mouth. Put the blunts down and let's make it happen. Cook, McKinney, Jarebko, Livingston, why are you here? Why did we get you? Do they know D and Koski and Ray, Uncle Ray, that this is the time that somebody can make they self? It don't have to necessarily be with the Warriors. You could play a great game and another team could see you. This is the time for you to shine right now. The bench need to show up. The transition D has turned into evaporated powder milk. They have got to come back and get that defense together, D. We know that Day-Day, Steph, and Mama call him Klay, they going to do their thing tonight, but the rest of the team going to have to show up in a real kind of way. You know what I mean, DB? Boogie,
amen.
The sequel was good. The threequel, I don't know about the threequel, but Boogie going to have to do his thing too, D.
Duke, you are the man. Thank you very much.
I just want to say for the blunt smokers, or just hydrate. You know, hydration also works.
Gatorade?
Yeah.
Help it out. Help it out. What do we got? Cena? Tiburon? What's going on?
Hey, guys. Long-time listener and first-time caller heading out to the stadium here with my daughter, Liv. And we were just wondering, you know, you guys have talked about the injury bug, almost like doom and gloom. I'm kind of optimistic tonight. I think we're going to get back a little bit healthier squad with Clay, hopefully with Looney making a push for it. But I'm curious, what's going on with Damian Jones? I mean, he shows up at the beginning of the season. He's a starter. Kerr's saying that, you know, he's going to be our guy this year. And then, obviously, he's got a bad injury. And, that, I mean, there's no taking anything away from that. But we haven't seen much of him getting back into the flow anymore. Just do you think he's better at maybe potentially doing those switches and rotations on the perimeter?
I appreciate the call. The guy's played three games since, what, December? And he is a, you know, he's on the edge of his own career and development. And there's Damian Jones is an incredibly athletic young man with a bright future. The future's not realized right now. This was going to be a year of development for him, and he's still very, very raw. To expect a raw leaper to come in and affect greatly an NBA final game, that would be. Did you ever sit around last year saying, tonight's JaVale McGee's night? JaVale McGee's got to be the man tonight. He's
got to
be the
one. Way too many people did just that. But what I would say about Jones is, just if I'm looking at this and trying to analyze his ability to contribute as
rebound
clearly
blocks
as possible, the one thing I feel like I can trust him to do right now is foul somebody. Because he's actually not a great rebounder for his size and athletic ability. Because he's not a great boxer outer, and this is a super sound Toronto team, I might he help you rebounding? Sure, I don't feel like I can count on it. I feel like if I need somebody to give me 6 minutes with a foul a minute, I can use Damian Jones for that for sure.
Yeah, I understand why people keep trying to come up with the arcane solution.
He started for 20-something games.
But there's a reason why he hasn't played. He's been hurt. There's a reason why they haven't gone to him recently. And it's either because he's still not healthy or they don't trust him.
Well, and I think they went to him against Portland because it was a chance to see what he could give you against the team you felt really comfortable beating.
And let's be honest. If it sounds like some of our callers are grasping at straws, it sounds like we're grasping at straws because...
Tough job.
We're looking for some straws to get through tonight's game. That's where we are. Golden State Warriors... Game 4 of the NBA Finals tonight. Tim Bontemps is here, NBA writer for ESPN. Our guest usually a Pat on the Dial Pad guest line. The last time we did that with Tim, he appeared in a Bart tube, and we didn't get to hear him. We can hear you now, buddy. Good to see you. How are you, man?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
First of all, welcome back. We didn't see you the last
time. I know.
Yeah, good to see you.
Thank you.
Let's hope it's not the last time. We need another game here.
No kidding,
game
right?
Game 6 specifically. How do the Warriors find themselves on a path to Game 6 with a win tonight?
They need a lot of guys to be able to play and play a lot of minutes who are hurt, right? They need Klay Thompson to be really good. They need him to be what he was before he got hurt. They need Kevon Looney to play and be able to be somewhat effective with a chest injury, having to guard Serge Ibaka and Marcus Gasol, which is hard. And they have to guard a lot better than they did in Game 3. I think the biggest issue with this team right now is they can't guard Toronto, and that especially is where I think Looney and Clay are going to help them a lot, as much as they'll help offensively, Clay in particular. They have to guard a lot better if they have any chance of winning this series.
Well, and isn't that the question? Is the inability to guard largely personnel or somewhat schematic in execution as well?
I would say it's a combination of both. I would say it's less schematic, though, and more just the fact that, you know, Kevon Looney in particular is really good, and when you're rolling out there Andrew Bogut and DeMarcus Cousins at center, you know, Bogut at this point in his career is not mobile enough to guard most guys, and Cousins just isn't a defensive player. So I thought that was really where the loss was. And even Clay, I mean, Clay's an elite defensive player. He was an all-defensive pick for me at a guard spot. So you miss two guys like that on your team, you're going to be a lot worse off defensively.
Tim, you've been watching. I'm sorry, Ray, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'm changing the subject. You got a follow-up?
No, I was going to ask something.
All right, so the Toronto Raptors, you've had your eye on them all regular season.
Yep.
I remember you talking about them representing the East about halfway through the regular season with an awful lot of certainty,
yep,
just in a conversation that we were having.
Yep.
The team that you've seen the first three games, surprise? Any surprises? A player giving you more of a contribution than you thought, less? Or is this kind of what you expected? This is a damn good basketball team.
Yeah, I mean, I picked Toronto to win the series for a reason. I mean, I thought they were the best team in the league outside of Golden State all season from a talent perspective. And I just thought coming into this series with the amount of – I thought it would be a toss-up series or close to it if they're healthy. Golden State is obviously not healthy now, and they're way less healthy than they were even at the start of the series. So, look, I mean, they've dominated 2.5 of the first three games. They really should have probably won game two. We'll see what happens tonight, but I think at this point you have to look at them as the heavy – not the heavy favorites, but the clear favorites to win the series because they're a really good team. And, again, Golden State is just really up against it with all these injuries that they have.
Is Nick Nurse the sort of coach who would want his guys to test the injured Warriors on the defensive end right away? And if so, which of them would they prioritize, going at Thompson or going at Looney?
Well, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how it goes, right? I mean, I think the short answer is yes. I think when you have a guy out there like that, you want to go at him. You go back to game two, what did they run like the first seven plays, right? They got DeMarcus up at the three-point line. They ran pick and rolls at him over and over again, right? I think they're going to do the same thing with Clay. It's a little harder for them to do that because Danny Green is not exactly like a guy you give the ball to make plays, right? But, you know, you can run some small pick and rolls, get Clay switched on to Kawhi Leonard and kind of bang him and see how he does, right? See how he moves laterally. I think that's going to be the case. And look, I know Looney's going to try to play. I just think you just bang into him as much as possible, right? You just be physical with him. You have Serge come down and run into him. You have Marc Gasol come down and run into him. You just bang on him a lot. I mean, I can't imagine trying to play through, you know, a cartilage issue with my chest against big guys like that. So, you know, I think it's probably easier to just lean on him, but, you know, both those guys are going to get tested a lot, I'm sure.
Can we be totally honest? I can't imagine going out there and playing a spitting image of health.
Right.
Just being right. In the best shape of my life, you'd get trucked by these athletes.
No kidding.
On the Gasol issue, watching Toronto over the course of the playoffs, it seems like how aggressive and involved is Marc Gasol is a pretty good barometer for how this team is doing.
I think 6-1 when he scores in double figures in whatever the record is when he doesn't. Like he's a really important piece for them. You saw that in Game 3, right? They went out, they got him going, right into DeMarcus. He scored some points early. When he is confidently shooting the ball and making shots, they're a way different team.
Is Toronto the sort of team that will – well, let me put it this way. They shortened their bench in Game 3. They're now down to 7.
Right.
And I can't see many scenarios in which they suddenly insert Norman Powell short of catastrophic foul play.
He might play some more. I've been kind of surprised he hasn't played as much as he has. But either way, I mean, it's 7, at most 8 guys.
But I guess the thing that Powell apparently hasn't been able to bring them is that defensive consistency.
Right.
When the Warriors are healthy, do they bring him back tonight on the theory that the Warriors don't have enough offense to make his deficiencies glaring, or do they stay with the 7 they've got on the theory that you don't change what's going around?
I would imagine he's going to play a little bit more. But yeah, I mean, usually when Norm doesn't play, it's because he turns the ball over and he makes mistakes on defense, right? Like when he tries to do too much sometimes. When he stays in his lane like he did against Milwaukee, he's really, really solid piece for them. When he starts to get outside of that, that's when Nick kind of goes, all right, we got to kind of shunt this to the side, right? So I think to your point, especially with Clay out there, Norm's a guy who can give the ball, who you can kind of go at him, right, and make some plays. So I do expect to see more of him tonight. I'll be a little surprised if we don't.
And just to follow, do they use Ananobi at all, just not going to play?
I would guess he's probably not going to play. I mean, he didn't do anything for 2 months, right, basically, for 6 weeks. So I think maybe he could get out there and you know, really I think the interesting thing will be is if Kevin Durant comes back, maybe OG starts to play some because then they can go small. Kind of the underrated thing about this series is that Golden State has no wing players, and therefore they can't put Draymond at center, and they can't go small. So because of that, you kind of don't need OG as much, right? So I think if Kevin does come back and they can start rolling out the death lineup, then maybe you see OG play a little bit more.
Given the fact that not being able to play that lineup, I think, has clearly hurt the Warriors over the course of this series, do you think they might try to square peg round hole like a Jarebko or McKinney at the four?
I mean, even if they do get it out there some, they can't do it for long. I mean, their best line. I mean, if Looney can play, I mean, again, like they don't have enough guys. You know, Alphonso McKinney is not good. Jonas Jarebko is not. I mean, these guys are NBA players, but they're not NBA Finals players. They just don't have to play like that. You've got to have wing players that can play well and play a lot of minutes. And with Iguodala banged up, with Clay maybe banged up, there's just a lot of guys that they just can't really go to, and it really limits what they can do.
Tim, thank you, man. Thank you for joining us, not just tonight, but all season.
Sure.
Good to talk to you.
Always great to talk to you guys.
Man, we might be catching back up with you in Toronto, since you're definitely going to be heading back there.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Thank you very much. Tim Bontemps, NBA writer for ESPN. Yesterday, Matt Ray and I had Steve Kerr on, which is a cool thing in between NBA playoff games. We wanted to run a little of that past you right now. The conversation began with me asking Coach Kerr, how was your locker room after that Game 3 loss and Steph Curry's performance?
Well, we're down 2-1. I mean, it's pretty simple. So let's go out and get a win and change the momentum again, just like we did in Game 2. And that's how these series go. You know, we've been doing this for a long time, and we've seen pretty much everything. Everything changes after a game, and you just have to lock in on the next game and do your job and see what happens.
Steve, the plan is to play Clay in Game 4. How difficult? Did you almost have to save him from himself? Of course he wanted to play. How hard was it to sell him on not playing?
Yeah, it was difficult to tell Clay that he wasn't playing. It was not a difficult decision for us because, you know, a guy has a tweaked hamstring. There's a serious risk that if we throw him out there that he tweaks it worse and then he's done for the whole series. So this was an opportunity for us to give him 4 days of rest, you know, from the time he injured it to the time he goes back out onto the court, and just take away as much of that risk as possible. There's still the chance that it could happen, but an extra 2 days of healing and treatment is really going to pay off. And so this was a decision we made that, no, it was not easy for Clay. That's for sure. He was dying to be out there.
Is there any kind of minutes restriction on Thompson, or is it really just what you see and how you feel as the game develops?
Yeah, it's just how he feels and how the game's going. So, you know, the training staff told me today there's no minutes restriction. It's really all based on how he's doing out there.
How hard was it for you to convince him that, well, you're not playing? I mean, how much of a fight did he put up?
Put up a big fight, but he understood the reasoning. You know, if we throw him out there and he pulls the hamstring and he's done, I would never forgive myself. I know Clay would not be thrilled either. So he understood the reasoning, and you know, Bob and Rick and I basically triple teamed him. He had no chance. He couldn't get out of the swarm we put on him.
So this was a triangle in one.
It was a triangle in one, exactly.
So let me step to your team defense, which obviously there are obvious reasons why it probably wasn't as good as you were hoping based on who's available to you. But going through all the post-game stuff, one of the things that stands out is how many just corner threes you guys gave up just in terms of attempts, which obviously is something you don't want to do. Was there a particular execution aspect? Is there something you look at that we let this happen over and over again to create that situation?
Yeah, they diced us up pretty well, and there's always sort of a domino effect. So if you make a mistake in one area, then it can lead to three passes that lead to a corner three or an open three. And so there were several things that we saw on the tape that were very obvious that we've got to improve upon. And I think our guys played really, really hard. They competed like crazy, but we got broken down at the point of attack. And if you get broken down at the point of attack or the point of the screen, now you're scrambling behind the play and somebody's going to be open, especially with a good passing team like Toronto. So that's, you know, pretty much the gist of it, and we got to do a better job.
Steve Kerr here on 95.7 The Game. DeMarcus had a tough Game 3 after doing some real work in Game 2. Was that his inability to get his legs back underneath him, or is that the length and the defense of the Raptors, which was, I mean, it was everywhere?
Well, it's a combination of everything. Clay not being out there also, you know, took away from DeMarcus's game because, you know, they have a real good connection with Clay's cutting and DeMarcus's passing and screening. It was just a lot of things. I think the big thing is, you know, if a guy misses 6 weeks in the regular season, and he comes back, you don't expect him to be back 100% right away. He's going to have a bad game, a good game, a bad game, and it's going to take a week or two to really find the rhythm. But, you know, it's the finals, so the microscope is on him and everybody else. And you know, it's a tough night for him and for all of us, but got a chance to bounce back.
I hate to go back to Oracle Hospital, but there was a quasi-development on Kevon Looney. Is that a thin reed to stand on, or is there a real possibility that he might make an appearance before this is over?
Possibility. You know, basically, we got a second opinion. It's a tricky injury. It's a fracture of the cartilage that connects, as I understand it, that connects the collarbone to the sternum. Original diagnosis we got was this is, you know, going to be a few weeks, and it's season ending, series ending, I should say. I guess it's the same thing. But he, you know, Loon is dying to play. We got a second opinion. He's going through some testing today and tomorrow. So I think there's a real chance he could be back out there.
Were you disappointed that after all the hours upon hours of tape you must have watched and practice time you spent, that Nick Nurse didn't go back to the box and won in game three?
That was no surprise. You know, box and one is so gimmicky, and it worked well. I thought it was a great move by Nick. You know, you look at the tape, and one of the reasons we don't play much zone, every once in a while we'll throw one out there, but it's terrifying. You give up so many good shots, but the whole point of it is to you know, throw the defense out of rhythm if they're in a good, or throw the offense out of rhythm. You know, if they're in a good groove against your man-to-man, you know, maybe you change it up, and that's what they did, kind of in desperation mode. But that's not a defense in the NBA that you're going to play very often, that's for sure.
Golden State Warrior head coach Steve Kerr ahead of Game 4 of the NBA Finals here on 95.7 The Game. In Game 3, Steph Curry was phenomenal. Shot it 31 times, and Steve, there's very little doubt in my mind that if Steph wanted 30 shots a night throughout the regular season, he would lead this league in scoring, and he'd probably do so by a wide margin and easily. It's one of those, the only guy who can slow down Michael Jordan was Dean Smith. I think the only guy who can slow down Steph Curry is his willingness to share the ball.
I say me.
I'm not going to put it on you. I'm not going to put it on you.
I will.
You know, so the beauty of Steph is that he's all about the team. He's all about winning. There's a reason he was recruiting Kevin Durant, you know, three summers ago. The more good players you have, the better chance you have to win. You know, and if you can put together three or four great players on one team, now you can win a championship. That's what Steph's about. When Steph doesn't have a whole lot of offensive help, he can completely take over and deliver one of the great performances in finals history. I mean, he's that gifted, that talented. So the best thing about Steph, he doesn't get caught up in any of this stuff. You know, probably the same people, you know, who were saying that, you know, he needed Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson to be great are the same ones who were saying, oh, see, you know, Steph can't do it on his own. He had 47, but they lost. You know, no matter how you slice it, there's just going to be judgment and criticism, and Steph's great about just not worrying about any of that and just playing.
Let's end on a really positive note. As you go into Game 4 with Klay Thompson, hopefully giving us one more game back at Oracle in Game 6, because got to win one of these two to make sure that's going to happen. Steve, you mentioned that in high school you saw a box and won. What were you averaging your senior year of high school? What'd you drop on the world?
This was actually my freshman year in high school.
So you were just tearing it up that night. You must have been cutting into ribbons.
Something like that. But I'm just glad I finally have something in common with Steph Curry. Makes me feel good.
Steve Kerr on with us earlier this week. Always a pleasure to have the Warriors head coach on. He was talking to the media while we were playing that interview for you, and the announcement that Kevon Looney is going to give it a go tonight has officially been made. There has been no announcement made on Kevin Durant other than there will be no announcement on Kevin Durant until the announcement is he's playing. In other words, Steve is tired of answering a question that he doesn't have the answer to every day he gets a question.
Well, he did answer it. He basically said he might be available for 5 or 6, which I think you can conclude means he's not available for 4.
I would assume.
That's a safe assumption.
Very, yeah. Very good way to look at it. And again, he might have been available to play in game 1. You know, he might have been available to play in game 2. He might have. I honestly do not think we're going to see Kevin Durant in the NBA Finals.
And I still do.
I hope you're right. I don't want to be right about this, but
I'll tell you what, the chances are a lot better.
This team keeps moving the goalposts on any sort of, like, official reevaluation. Like, I mean, at this point, if he's so close, they're looking at it and thinking another 24 hours is the key. Another 24 hours is the key. Or they're looking at it and they're thinking there's another 2 months here.
I think they're looking at it and saying another 72 hours is the key. I mean, you get 3 days from now until game five and another three. You basically get a whole week from game four to game six.
Monty Poole reporting that Klay Thompson having no minute restrictions tonight.
Great.
No firm minute restrictions.
Well, 48.
Yeah.
48 is the minute restriction.
That is not true.
Unless it's
overtime. Is possible.
I mean, I saw a four overtime game this year. I do not want to see that hamstring get tested with that tonight.
No.
Let's avoid that.
Well, then it's a 68-minute restriction.
Steph Curry, you are the man. You need to continue to be the man. Klay Thompson, your splash brother, has to have a healthy night of defense-first basketball. Knock down an open shot when you find it. That's not just for Curry and Klay. That's for Cook, Yurebko, McKinney. That's for everyone who's going to take a three tonight. Big, big minutes. Again, Sean, you didn't do much in game three at all. What can you do tonight? Andre Iguodala, what can you do tonight? Steve Kerr, with this lineup, what can you do tonight? It doesn't feel like a must win, but it certainly feels like a, you know, if you really do want to be NBA champions, you probably should win. And considering the only way to guarantee one more game here is with a win tonight, let's see it actually happen. Matt, Ray, thank you very much. This was an awful lot of fun. Mark Spears, Anthony Slater, Tim Bontemps, thanks to all of them, an awful lot of fun. And thanks to everyone here. Look, I don't want to get all sentimental, but if this really is it, thank you. Thank you to all the people that we have worked with. So many years, so many games here at Oracle Arena. Tim Jordan notwithstanding, but the people here at actual Oracle Arena, not the people that we bring in, like we force them to work for us, but the nice folks, Alan, the security people who have become, you know, as recognizable friends as you could have ever walking into a remote broadcast. They've really always created a wonderful home environment here for us. And we want to be back here again. So let's have one more. In the immortal words of Ernie Banks, let's play two. Forget about that being the wrong sport. Good luck to the Golden State Warriors tonight. Good luck to all of you. Get in this building. Make it loud at 6 o'clock. And remember, my friends, sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.